Today, we'd like to see the title of Be of Good Cheer in Book of Acts, chapter 23, verses 1 to 35. To the souls on this online world through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number 1 in verse 1, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 6, but when Paul perceived that one part was the Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." What does it mean, and what can you learn from here? Question 3, in verse 11, but the following night the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? In the last time in Book of Acts, chapter 22, verse 30, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them. After Jew Christians heard of Paul's testimony about Jesus sending Paul far from Jerusalem to the Gentiles, they were provoked in a turmoil due to their spiritual pride over the Gentile Christians. Paul was separated from them by the commander. In the next day, the commander set Paul before Sanhedrin council, the chief priests and all their council, to know the reason why Paul was accused by the Jews. Now Paul, as a witness to Christ, stood before most Judaists, such as the Pharisees and Sadducees, or a few Jew Christians. Verse 1, then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Paul did not use the formal address for this Sanhedrin council, such as "Your Honor," but Paul used "men and brethren" because he used to be a member of this council toward a common ground for convincing. Paul has lived in all good conscience before God until this day. It doesn't mean before meeting Jesus, all good conscience concerning Mosaic law, and thereafter concerning knowledge of Christ or law of Christ. Here we can learn that to reach a common ground is helpful to convince people, especially for a word ministry. Here, cross reference right there. So verse 2, and high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Ananias, the high priest, ordered his servant to strike Paul's mouth. That's a violation of Mosaic law due to the punishment upon Ananias assuming iniquity or sin without two or three witnesses. Ananias was so greedy in history. So cross-reference right there. Verse 3, then Paul said to him, "God will strike you. you whitewashed wall, for you said to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law? Paul retorted to Ananias as God would punish you, because you as a hypocrite whitewashed the wall, violated the Mosaic law. So Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 15. So here, whitewashed wall is, Jesus said, you know, indicated a hypocrite. Matthew 22:27. 4-5. And those who stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? Then Paul said, I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Ananias' servants pointing out Paul's defamation against God's high priest. Paul did not recognize the high priest Ananias because of the thorn in flesh, which was an eye problem. Where Tertullus detected what Paul said to Romans in the book of Romans. Paul apologized to him, quoting the Mosaic law, Exodus 22:28. First six, that's a question two. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. When Paul perceived the Sadducees and Pharisees, Paul was given what he spoke in that hour by the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus' promise. So we should not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Whether or not a person's word or deed is by the Spirit, is discerned according to the Word of God. Unless it is against the Word of God, we better tolerate. Otherwise, we might be subject to blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees believed the body resurrection, but Sadducees did not so. The Pharisees believed the Old Testament and its traditions, while the Sadducees believed the Pentateuch without its expository teaching, in other words, the liberal teaching. We don't add tradition to the scripture, nor take from the scripture. So that one is a question too. 7-9. And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confessed both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel is a good angel, you know. So angel has taken to him, let us not fight against God. A loud cry, division between the Pharisees and Sadducees came out in that time. The Sadducees controlled the priesthood, while Pharisees controlled the scribes. The high priest Ananias was a Sadducee. The Sadducees were the humanists, while Pharisees believed the spirit or angels. So the scribe said no evil in Paul, who might have spoken by a spirit or an angel, because they should not fight against God. Note, we Christians follow the Holy Spirit's direction, which is in Jesus Christ, not the other spirit's direction. The Holy Spirit is never against the Word of God on the Scripture. Verse 19. verse 10. When the arose a great dissension to command the fearing, let the poor might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldier to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. The commander ordered his soldiers to take out Paul by force into Antonia Fortress from crying audiences for his safety. So Paul's testimony concerning Jesus was completely rejected by his brothers, as Jesus previously had told Paul. But whether or not a person received it, or whether or not a person believed it, is not really my responsibility. So Paul had no responsibility for their complete rejection. At this point, our success is to achieve an aim, which is what God wants, not what you, I, or people want. Hereby, Paul was successful, like Jeremiah, because they actively obeyed what he wanted. No many stood with Paul, but the Lord stood with him. And really, that is all you ever need. That cross reference right there. 11, question 3. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." Paul might feel discouraged because his testimony just seemed to flop. But in the following night, basically the Lord said, "No, you testified of me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness of me in Rome." Shutting back the past, Jesus pointed him towards the future. As Paul confessed, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward it to mark for the prize of high calling of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's desire was to take the gospel to Rome. It's learned that one of the best ways of getting out of the doldrums or depression, from thinking of failures of the past, is to get new goals established in the future. 12 up to 15. And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now there were more than 40 who had formed this council parish. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the command that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him, but we are ready to kill him before he comes near." The council priest offered some 40 Jews to kill Paul on the way between the fortress and the Sanhedrin court, under an oath, was shared with the chief priest, Ananias, the Jew appointee, Caiaphas, the Roman appointees and elders. 16. So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul's nephew overheard the council parish and told him about it, showing God's providential care for Paul. Paul never mentioned any of his family, but Luke here mentioned Paul's sister's son. Paul was likely disowned by his family upon his conversion, in light of, "I have suffered the loss of all things." Maybe family too. So 17 up to 23, then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, "Take this young man to the command, for he has something to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the command and said, Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you. Then the command took him by the hand and went aside and asked privately, what is it that you have to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let the young man depart and commanded him, tell no one that you have revealed these things to me. And he called for 2 centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the 3rd hour of the night. Paul, in a prison of the fortress, asked the centurion to bring the nephew to the command for something to tell him. So he reported it to the commander, who secretly ordered two centurions to bring 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen to send Paul to Caesarea, the Roman headquarters, at 9 p.m. Jewish time plus 6 hours was Roman time or our time. So the 3rd hour of the night was 9 p.m. For example, Jesus' crucifixion at 9 a.m. Amazingly, God chose the Roman army to deliver Paul toward the Romans for his testimony concerning Jesus Christ. God's ways are higher than our ways, always, always. 24, and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to fellowship the governor. The commander ordered to provide the rider for Paul, likely by horses, and safely to Felix the governor from AD 52 to 59, who in history was discharged by Nero from AD 54 to 68 for so many complaints against him for his mismanagement and all corruption. 25-30, he wrote a letter in the following manner, Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law or Mosaic law, but had nothing charged against him, deserving of death or chains. And when he was told me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent it immediately to you and also commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. 25-30, the commander Claudius Lysias gave his letter to the 2 centurions. The letter was to Governor Felix about why Paul was a Roman citizen, and his accusers were brought to Felix immediately from Jews' plot to kill. Paul was treated according to the Roman law, because the Roman law was not punished unless they were charged. 31-35. Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and returned to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor had read it, he asked what province he was from. And when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, "I will hear you when your accusers also have come." And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's Praetorium. The Roman soldiers took Paul by night to Antipatris, the base of the Samaritan mountains from Jerusalem. In the next morning, they returned to the fortress in Jerusalem, while the horsemen took Paul to Felix in Caesarea with the letter. Before his accusers arrived, Felix read the letter and then asked Paul's home, Cilicia. And then Felix ordered Paul kept in prison at Herod's Praetorium, or Herod's Palace, before his accusers' arrival. Here, Luke, the author of Acts, was with Paul from Jerusalem to Caesarea during the 2 years of birth. Luke used many reliable sources, such as an eyewitness interviews, for perfect understanding of all things, being able to get the letter from Claudius to Felix. So we covered all three questions. Continue to keep on prayer, European Union mission. So right now we are working app, so keep on prayers, Android app. So if the Lord leads iOS app as well, pray for the feeding people from starvation and sickness. Then last one, pastoral training of Asia and PTA. He was introduced in Burma and also all, the Asian country to sharing gospel, how to study the Bible by induction. Okay, let's sing all together, Maranatha song on brochure.